Welcome to Ketchikan.
Hey.
Have you been here before?
Mm-hmm. About 10, maybe 15 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's been quite some time.
Yeah.
All right.
Still beautiful as it was 10, 15 years ago. It's great. Grown a bit, though, I must say.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Yeah. A little bit of change.
Yeah. Yeah, it has changed a bit over the past 10 years. Well, obviously, you're here in town because you are running for lieutenant governor.
Mm-hmm. I'm running with Mark Begich on the Democratic ticket.
Yeah. And what made you want to be a part of all that?
Well, it's interesting. I recently retired last summer, and I worked a variety of different areas. I was born in Palmer, went to school outside once I graduated from high school, came back with an MBA, and the first opportunity I had, which I grabbed, was working as a business analyst in rural Alaska and working with an organization, a 501c4 membership organization of all the different tribes and businesses as well as corporations out in rural Alaska. Had about 150 members. And they had a board of directors as well as an executive director, and we worked on projects that promoted economic development and eventually workforce development in communities all through the state. In particular, I worked in a tourism project for Gamble, Savunga, Kodiak, as well as Nome, and we had the National Geographic ship going up the Bering Sea and into the Arctic Ocean. They're doing some great tours, I understand, and they would stop in Gamble and Savunga. And the opportunity for not only selling arts and crafts came up as well as sharing the history of the area. And that market was very interested in that because it was so unique. So I also did a project in Fish Hatchery in Port Graham, just south of Seldovia, and worked in helping set up a fur tannery in Shishmaref. So these are all local community projects that businesses, corporations, or nonprofits or tribes would take on, and we would assist them if they needed financing. We'd help them put together a loan package, or we would help with a business plan. We would offer business-type services. So I had a chance to travel throughout rural Alaska, made lots of friends, still actually saw them the past couple months traveling on the campaign. So it was like returning home and seeing people I hadn't seen in so long, and that's been the best part of the trip.
Okay. Have you done much in politics up until this moment?
No, I really haven't. I've supported candidates over the years, and I've always been interested in politics, but mostly what got me going was the level of rhetoric, hateful rhetoric at times at the national level. And my husband and I, we watch the PBS NewsHour every night, and it's not the type of politics I like. I really feel that there needs to be more productive, forward thinking, problem solving, you know, inclusive type of dialogue that is positive. And the negativity, I just feel that our children deserve better. And so when I was asked to consider running for House District 25, I considered it very seriously. But when they offered this opportunity, I was surprised. But the more I was talked to about it, as well as what I was asking, it was more intriguing and certainly more in line with actual ability to make a positive change and work with people that I've worked with during my entire career in rural economic development as well as workforce development. So my background lends itself to building off of that and making things better. So that's my goal.
Okay. And so the role of lieutenant governor has some specific duties. Mm-hmm. It sounds, though, like you would hope to branch out a little bit beyond that.
I think so, because my background certainly lends it to that. I mean, I have contacts and family in rural Alaska, and I'm a tribal person. I am currently serving as vice president for Kinnick Tribal Council, which is just outside of Anchorage, Wasilla area. And I've been involved in tribal efforts at the national level as well as statewide. So And in particular, we've been looking at fisheries around the south central part of Alaska and how it's really going through a lot of changes. So there's opportunities to involve local people, and I like that. That's where the energy comes and the creative ideas. And I think Mark is one of those individuals that has the common sense as well as the creative thinking that solves problems but involves people to help do that problem solving. And I think that that's the type of dialogue and problem solving I'd like to do.
Okay. And do you think that your experience in rural Alaska helps balance out Mark Begich's, he's from Anchorage, mm-hmm. and that's the more urban part of the state, obviously.
Right.
So
right. I think it does. And I'm not specifically from rural Alaska, but, you know, I have family that are in rural Alaska, and I've worked throughout rural Alaska. So, and I certainly feel that there's an opportunity to continue working in that area and doing projects to build a village economy that is sustainable and thriving. I think in the field of renewable energy, that's certainly an opportunity in terms of reducing the energy costs out in rural Alaska and having, in Kodiak, where they have tidal turbines as well as wind turbines, where it's 100% providing energy for the electricity. And the rates have not gone up since 1994. These are things that we can do in Alaska. These are projects that working, say, with the University of Alaska and having students find out where in the state that those type of projects would work well, whether it be solar, wind, or turbine, tidal turbine energy, or other areas of renewable energy, geothermal. I mean, I'd love to see our youth more actively involved in that type of workforce development as well as rural economic development, because the costs of energy are so high out in rural Alaska.
Okay. And so you're in Southeast right now.
Yeah.
What is your understanding of issues that are pretty specific to Southeast Alaska?
From what I understand that the you have a couple dams here, so you have some good renewable energy and you have good energy costs as long as it rains. Exactly. And so that's certainly a very positive thing for this community. And I also understand that your number one area of employer would be in healthcare, and that's with Peace Health. And the second area, I believe, is tourism. Tourism is third, possibly, and then fourth would be the timber industry, which hasn't been as strong. So the second one I'm just blanking on right now. But I know
government.
Probably. Yes, you're probably right. But I think healthcare is one of those areas throughout the entire state we're seeing that it's a major driver in terms of employment, number one need in the state, and we get so many people basically that come from the lower 48 to take those jobs. And what I would like to see is more homegrown in terms of the healthcare industry as well as in education. We can do that. And particularly out in rural Alaska, if we had more homegrown teachers, we would have less changeover or turnover in the teachers that go out to those areas. And I think that our local teachers could certainly educate to something that is relatable to children on their own environment as well as flora and fauna, and see the science that's right there in front of their eyes on a daily basis and really have a very deep understanding. Because sometimes bringing in a frog to dissect, we don't have frogs that big up here. So I always wondered why we always were dissecting frogs. But if you dissected a salmon or, you know, something like even a snowshoe rabbit that, you know, somebody caught in a snare, you would get so much more out of it and be more relatable as opposed to unrelatable, because you'll never see that frog again. So
never really thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always did. I never understood that.
And then, obviously this is the last day before Election Day and the big push is on. What is on your agenda for your visit here?
On my agenda is certainly to visit the Peace Health and talk with the administrators and learn about how we can help them do their job as well as employ local people, and what can we do in terms of, you know, providing the educational resources, and what we can do in terms of providing the best health care at the lowest price, particularly for our health insurance agencies, so that our premiums aren't as high as what they normally are in Alaska. Seeing we're so remote, we tend to not have the best rates, and that's unfortunate. But these are things that I think what Mark has been able to do as he's been mayor of Anchorage has been able to bring down the price of even prescription drugs by making it so that wherever we buy prescription drugs, particularly in Anchorage, that we share the prices and where the best prices are at. And pretty soon you see that the competitors are bringing their prices more in line. For healthcare in Alaska, if we could expand the pool in which are insured to reduce the overall, you know, risk of high costs, but have the economies of scale, to find states that are similar in size, similar in climate, you know, similar in population, such as, say, North Dakota, Wyoming, possibly Montana, and see if we can join up with them and share, you know, the pool with the insurance companies. So I know that there's districts, I believe, or there's areas in which they serve, but I'm hopeful that we can see the similar states and see if we can bring our rates down as a pool as opposed to just one state alone further away from the general population in the U.S.
Okay.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. You know, you gotta think outside the box and see what happens. Exactly. You never know.
Okay. So here in the hospital and mm-hmm. Any other events today to try and get out the vote?
We will have an event at the IBEW offices, and I believe that's at 5, but I'm not sure the exact time. And then I think this afternoon I will be going over to the shipyards to see how Vigor is set up. That's an amazing operation because if I recall, that wasn't there when I was here 10, 15 years ago.
The shipyard was, but yeah. No, it's been built up for sure.
Definitely. I see the difference, and that's great. I'm glad to see, you know, the level of activity there. That's amazing. But I also understand that there may be some loss in jobs because there's not enough contracts to keep everybody employed. So I know one of the big things is the Alaska Marine Highway and looking at funding and maintenance for all of our ferries. And I was in Cordova yesterday, and there's concerns that, you know, we also need some larger ships to handle the 8-foot waves that they get in that area. And right now they've got the fast ferries, and they're not built for that. So there's some things that we need to look at in terms of the Alaska Marine Highway in Alaska and not continue the cut in funding, because it's getting to the point to where it's probably pretty close to being a hindrance to economic development in the areas. So that's what I heard yesterday in Cordova.
Yeah, it's a problem. Well, the schedule is challenging to work around because it's been cut so much. But yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things that we've talked about around the campaign is to have like a public-private corporation, much like the railroad, and where you can get financing or bonds and really, you know, look at it in terms of a for-profit as well as a service, public service company. And that may be a tool that works real well, you know, in terms of being efficient as well as, you know, providing the services that are needed. So it's interesting to maybe look at that as a model to use. So
there is an effort underway.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. And Mark has supported it. And I didn't know that, you know, that might be an option, but I know it seems to have worked for the Anchorage Railroad, Alaska Railroad. And it's going to be like any other company. You're going to have your ups and downs. But as long as you're kind of managing the costs and looking at, you know, keeping your profit at a certain level, hopefully to maintain, then it's just a matter of working through the process.
Right. And so, again, the election's tomorrow. What, and this will run this evening for our listeners, what is it that you really hope people know about you before they go into the voting booth tomorrow?
Well, I'm a longtime Alaskan, and I came back to Alaska after graduate school. And like I said, I've worked throughout Alaska. That's critically important. But I've also worked in the oil and gas industry, so I know our number one contributor to our budget and our economy. And I also understand the nonprofit area in terms of working with tribes and working with corporations, village as well as regional corporations and statewide. So I have a blending of everything, and I don't know that many candidates do. I don't think my opponent has spent much time in rural Alaska. I don't know that he's worked for any regional or village corporations throughout the state. And I've also worked a little bit in education in terms of at the Alaska Native Heritage Center, and where we bring in youth to learn their language as well as their culture. And if they came from another, if their parents came from another part of the state, but the children were born in Anchorage, they may not have those ties to being Inupiaq or being Tsimshian or being Tlingit. And we would teach that during the day, during for one credit class. And at the end of spring, they're eligible to apply for summer employment as a tour guide, where they in turn teach others, visitors to Alaska who want to learn about the culture, and that just supports and refreshes their own knowledge as well as keeps them grounded in who they are so they know who they are. And when you start explaining who you are to another person, it makes it more real to yourself. So it's a transformative process for our young people that don't know who they are or where they're going to go. But it certainly grounds them once they have one summer under their belt and they start thinking, who am I? I know who I am.
Okay. And other than background, what is it that sets you apart from your opponent?
I'm a Democrat. I think that's pretty much set far apart, you know, in this day and age. But, you know, one of the things
that's kind of an obvious answer.
It is
question.
Obvious.
It was an obvious question.
But, so. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, I've worked with both parties. We always used to at the legislature. In fact, I was chair of the Alaska Jobs Training Council. Governor Hickel appointed me. And so, you know, that's where my workforce development experience comes from. And that these are things that, in fact, I had a Republican, you know, a friend of mine that I went to school with at Chugach High School. He sponsored the legislation for our workforce development plan. So there's, you know, I don't see any real differences, but, you know, there's times where it seems to take a new level of heightened verbiage, and the politics most recently certainly has. So it's interesting that this is an interesting time, to say the least.
Yeah, there's less gray area,
yes,
it seems,
yes,
than
it
in
does.
Previous years. Yeah,
and I'm positive, forward-thinking. I would like to see a long-term plan for Alaska. I want to have my 19-year-old son feel like he has a future here, and he knows what his career options are. And so much of the rhetoric has not been focused on our youth or on workforce development or on our economy going forward. And I'd really like to work on those areas because those are the areas I'm very familiar with.